from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
I lost, I'm out.
Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Good morning to everybody out there on a Tuesday morning. Hopefully the sun comes out today. Good morning to all the graveyard shift workers, all the truck drivers, all the folks in traffic right now. Hopefully you're having a good day and a good start to your day. All the overnight dancers. Hopefully, you know, the Atlanta Braves are in town. They know a thing or two about gentlemen's clubs and, you know, magic and the chipping
rings and stop it.
Lemon pepper lose. And maybe they wanted to explore last night after a 1-0 victory in extras against the Giants. They lose. What's going on in camp? The Niners got canceled joint practices. We'll talk to Matt Barrows about that at 8:30 because I do believe the Niners have held joint practices before at Santa Clara or in Santa Clara against the Denver Broncos. But anyway, shout out to our friends at Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. And you know, Shasky says a lot of things. Some really, really good. Some, you know, kind of got to walk back, but, you know, it's part of the process. We all say things we sometimes regret.
Or text them.
Or, no need texting. Or sometimes you make bad bets. Sometimes you're so emotional that you make a bad bet. And Shasky made a bad bet with yours truly, Bonta Hill, saying that Team USA was going to lose a basketball game during the Olympic run.
What, huh? I got as close as you can get without actually having it happen.
Well, 82-79. I wonder if you were saying wee-wee.
No, I was rooting for the USA.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. Dr. Curry dancing on Batum over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger! Great night! Curry unconscious in the fourth!
Oops. So Shasky agreed to make a bet to where 90 seconds, and we're going to get the timer in just a second. 90 seconds. He has to say nothing but sweet nothings about Andrew Backerly. And then we added 30 seconds to Peter King, because for some reason last week he was on the hate Peter King hype, and I don't get why. He's all
well, let's
favor.
Do 60, because 90 is a long time, so we'll do 60
and 30. No. You don't get to change the rules of the bet when the bet has already been made. You just start trying to do that.
That's gone too far.
No. You agreed to 90 seconds.
Right, and you have to start on that clock.
All you got to do is start slow. Right. You don't have to speak so fast. So make sure we got it. Do we need music? Do we need anything? Spinotti, you tell me.
All right. Andrew Baggerly, a.k.a. Andy. Extra bags. He's a phenomenal journalist for the San Francisco Giants and has been covering them for a variety of outlets. He's really a trendsetter because at a time when blogs weren't really that popular and a thing, I remember logging on to the Extra Bags blog site for Bang. I believe it was the San Jose Mercury News.
Yeah,
I know he was a part of the Oakland Tribune at one time. I mean, this is a guy who really has been tapped in with the San Francisco Giants since day one. He does have incredible knowledge when it comes to not just like the inner workings of the San Francisco Giants clubhouse, but the front office as well. And when I think of people that are at the forefront of changing how we consume sports media, I think of people that were at the forefront of the internet. And also, he was one of the few guys back in the day when I used to listen to Marty Lurie on the radio. And, you know, he was a guy that would come on all the time. And he was a big-time guest. And he pioneered things not just in print and in internet media, but also on television. Because he was on television at a time when I consumed all of the, you know, Cron Live and Sports Lives when you had Jim Cosimore and Papa running things, and Andy Baggerly would be on the field and doing his, what I call the Gary Radnish Buster Brown, and he did a great job for that. And I will give him this. He's written multiple books that are excellent. He's a 3-time winner on Jeopardy. Am I done?
That was it?
Well, you missed Jeopardy as well.
Well, I think I nailed it at the very end. I might have hit the dismount. But I would also say that, you know, the guy does great work, and he got thrown under the bus for reporting accurate information.
You don't like the Buster Brown thing?
Regarding Melky Cabrera. Like, the Melky Cabrera thing, he broke days before it happened, and then he had to apologize to Melky, and that was bum. That whole thing, the way that went down was weak, and it has nothing to do with him.
Did he break the fake website? Remember when Melky made the fake website?
Yeah, that's
the
best part. And then days later, gets popped for basically testosterone. 50-game suspension.
So now,
I did it.
You did it. Now we got 30 seconds.
Oh, that's actually really good, too.
30 seconds, P. King? 30 seconds, are we ready? Peter King, starting now.
Ah, Peter King, a lover of life. I mean, when I think of people who really enjoy football at like a cerebral level, I think of someone like Peter King. Just incredible access, really a pioneer in the industry. The Monday morning quarterback wasn't just a staple of my football-loving life. It was something that, as I got into the media, was a necessity to read because there were little nuggy-nugs that you needed to have to know about someone.
That wasn't 30 seconds.
Yeah, that was 30 seconds.
Yeah, was.
That was 30 seconds?
Yeah.
That was fast. Damn. Does it get a round of applause? You paid your debt. Paid your bet. That wasn't too hard, was it? It wasn't too hard.
Speak as a bit. I like
Feels
that.
Good.
Say something nice about people you don't like.
Yes.
There you go.
It doesn't hurt. Feels good, doesn't it? Get that hate out your heart, Shasky. You did a good job.
I'm proud of you, Shasky. Those were two really good speeches there. Very good job.
Speeches. Giving credit to some Hall of Fame writers.
A couple pioneers of the industry.
Pioneers.
Exactly.
Trendsetters.
Speaking of trendsetters.
could not pivot away
if fast. If I were to ask you, Kyle Shanahan's. If I were
we should
to
ask Peter King. Can we call?
If I were to ask you, what are some of Kyle Shanahan's. Like, he's great. But no one's perfect. Like Belichick, for example. Did I think Belichick was great at drafting offensive players? Not really. Tight end, yeah. But like wide receiver, not so good at it.
Did Peter King ever write with Belichick on the week of the Super Bowl? He writes with coaches?
No idea.
He wrote with Shanahan.
Well, you have to understand when you ride with a Bill Belichick. A Bill Belichick run team.
Peter King and Bill Belichick haven't spoken in 17 years.
Wow. This is why I love Belichick.
Let's go. You love Belichick today. You hate him yesterday.
No, I didn't. What are you talking about? I think he's one of the greatest coaches ever.
Why does he not like Belichick?
That doesn't matter.
Why is he not talking to Belichick?
It's actually 18 years now. This article is from August 29th.
Why hasn't he talked to Belichick for 18 years?
There's some sort of riff that happens.
We're on to Cincinnati.
As Peter King calls it, it's the cost of doing business sometimes, per quote.
It's the cost of doing business.
That's going to be my new tagline when it comes to radio. I like that.
So you steal that for Peter King.
I like that.
Oh, you like that.
Repackage that as my own. All right, so when I think of like Belichick.
This is fascinating to me.
This is why I love Belichick, right?
Go ahead, say what you said. I'm locked in on Spitoni. I want to know more nuggets. Go ahead, keep talking.
Well, when I think of Belichick, I think of someone who like knows the rule book inside and out, right?
Well, his buddy did. What was his buddy name? Ernie Adams?
Yeah,
his
but name? He was always at his side, yep. Right? And so Sean McVay had a clock guy years ago. That guy left him. He was a college guy that he brought in 2018,
yep.
Kirsch or something,
yep.
To run his clock. Well,
yep.
What they realized this last year in particular, dude, the rule book is crazy. Like, there are so many intricacies of the rule book. Not only do you have to be a clock guru, you better have every single rule memorized and to understand how it affects the clock and the timeouts and the challenges and this and the other. Now,
you know why Pete King doesn't talk to him or they don't talk to each other? He got crushed during Spygate. Peter King went in on Belichick with Spygate.
Well, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. McVay realized that last year, the Baltimore game for them, the playoff game, when it came to when to take points, when to you know burn timeouts, no team during the regular season burned more third quarter timeouts than the LA Rams. And so he went back and he was watching every single game and they were trying to say how many games were affected where we could have had an opportunity to either put up points at the end of the game or whatever, or we needed one more timeout to get the ball back. And it was more than people wanted to admit. Who was the number two team in the NFL who spent the most timeouts in the third quarter?
Let me guess. Maybe they're 45 miles away from where we're at right now.
Kyle Shanahan. And so I say to myself that, like, obviously the overtime rules and not knowing that, that's one that's going to be egg on his face for a while. It just is. And I get it. That was a new rule. I understand. But to avoid things like that, I really think that Shanahan needs to do what McVay has done. Now, I don't know who he's got on staff right now that's helping him with the clock and whatnot, but the common theme, and McVay kind of expressed this, is like when Andy Reid was in Philly, you know, your head is down, right. Guys are coming on and off the field, you're worried about getting the play call in, you also have your eye on the clock. There's just a lot of things to juggle.
Well, when I'm curious then, in Super Bowl 54, who was in Kyle Shanahan's headset to tell him not to call a timeout, to stop the clock?
That I don't know. But wouldn't you say that it's not just the clock? You better know all of the rules.
Because
there's like runoff rules.
Right, no
there's,
doubt.
There's but, challenge rules.
But it's also just knowing time and situation. Knowing time and situation.
See, but like I think Shanahan. McVay said it though. McVay goes, I know the time and situation.
Boy,
it's
I'm
not
rough.
Just knowing it. It's can you take something off my plate because I'm calling plays?
Yeah, no doubt. You need somebody to take them off the plate. But Shanahan is he wants total control of everything. We heard Shanahan over the weekend say, boy, I got bored not calling plays. Here's what Shanahan said about not calling plays.
I mean, I'd love to get letting Clay do that. I have a lot of confidence in Clay, but it was one of the more boring things for me personally. That was like my first game in 16 years, not calling plays. I didn't really know what to do with my hands. I got to throw a red flag. I was excited about that. Called it timeout, I think a couple of them, but it is a little different.
So
I saw that as a shot at Sirianni, by the way.
Well, it could be a shot at Sirianni. I don't know. I didn't see it as a shot. Because
Sirianni wasn't calling plays or doing anything.
Everything's not always a shot, Shasky.
Well, I know the anything. Eagles and Niners front offices like can't stand each other.
Yeah, but everything's not always a shot. But look, the fact is, Jay Shanahan, whether it's calling a timeout or not calling a timeout, he's got some issues when it comes to time and situation. I remember the Kevin Kugler game. With Eno Benjamin, if you want to go ahead. Oh, you already have that queued up, Spinotti? Damn.
On second and five, this is Eno Benjamin. A little hop step, and oh, he trucked Drake Kirkpatrick and takes it in for the touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
So if I recall, and I don't remember exactly the specific detail, but late in that game, I think they were down two scores, and he elected to kick a field goal. And it was like under 4 minutes. Something happened that game where everybody was just crushing Shanahan. I'll look it up in just a second. It just popped into my brain.
As into like making a multi-score game or something like that.
Yeah, he just didn't time and distance.
Yeah.
Time and distance with Shanahan has always been an issue. It's whether you call a timeout in Super Bowl 54 or you don't call a timeout in Super Bowl 54. Knowing the situation with the minute 49 left, and I'll never to my grave, a minute 49 left in the Super Bowl. Mahomes is on fire. Kansas City takes the lead. They're up 24-20. You're running the ball well on that final drive. You're first and 10 at the Chiefs 49 with three full timeouts. All right? Three full timeouts, and you have a first down, and you got 49 yards to go to score a game-winning touchdown. The fact that they threw four straight passes in that sequence had nothing to do with a timeout. It's just knowing, wait a minute, why am I rushing to score? Mahomes is on the other sideline. My defense is gashed. I've got to think about it like this. I got to score a touchdown, but can I make sure I manipulate the clock enough to where if we do get the ball back after scoring the touchdown, Mahomes has no time to work with. And instead, they're going deep on third down, and it's still a minute 30 left. So even if you score with Emmanuel Sanders, Mahomes still has two timeouts and a minute 30 to left with to work with. So knowing the situation, when to call pass plays or run plays in two-minute situations. Now, I'm not saying I'm a clock guru. I'm not head coach material. I'm nowhere near Kyle Shanahan. I'm not saying that at all. But it's also when the call plays and knowing the time of a situation, how to work with the time, making sure that you bleed enough clock to where that other team doesn't have a shot to score.
Well, I think one of the things that separate, for me, and I don't know because we don't know like behind closed doors, but one of the things I'm starting to see in terms of separation of how they are, like both McVay is innovative in offense and Shanahan's innovative in offense, where I find McVay to be very fascinating in the last couple of months, his level of self-reflection and admitting some of his shortcomings is just different publicly. I don't know what's going on behind scenes, but publicly, McVay showcases himself as a little more vulnerable. And he's like, yeah, we should have done this better. And yeah, I should have done that better. And you know what? I'll bring that guy in to come help me out. I don't get that same sense from Shanahan. You're bringing up postseason games. What about the game against Seattle where they threw in that overtime game when it was, I think it was 2019, and they threw three times and gave the ball right back to Russ? Yeah. Or the Green Bay game against Aaron Rodgers where they left just enough time on the clock for him to throw that beautiful pass to Devontae. There are a variety of games, and we can always play this, you know, back and forth about time, and guys have to execute, and there's a lot that goes into it. I just find it fascinating that McVay has clearly realized this is important. I am going to bring in someone who just does this. And I'm not saying that I'm going to go with him every time with what he says, but it is nice that he'll focus on that. I'll focus on this, the play sheet. Right. And there's going to be times where I'll override him, but there's also times where I need his wisdom and perspective to give me the options in my head in the matter of a snap of my fingers.
I'm going to take it a step further. This is where Brock Purdy, we talk about Brock Purdy being the leader, mm-hmm. Brock Purdy being a franchise quarterback. This is where Brock Purdy could take matters into his own hands. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, the greats of the greats, Mahomes, the greats of the greats, Ben Roethlisberger. They knew when to burn timeouts. They knew when to spike it. They knew when to throw an incompletion. They knew when to no huddle. They knew all these little situations. So sometimes you need to have, and part of having Jimmy Garoppolo there where he let Shanahan do everything. No, the quarterback needs to take ownership. Yeah. You're on the field. You understand it. You need to be looking at the coach saying, no, burn it right now. Burn it, burn it, burn it, and just do it. And who cares if there's going to be conflict here? Conflict is healthy. Conflict is healthy if you're going to be on the same page and trying to attain the same goal. So Brock Purdy, I'm looking at him saying, you have to be a better leader in these situations. Now, we haven't seen him yet in a lot of these situations. We saw a lot of Jimmy Garoppolo in these situations, and everybody knows how we feel about Jimmy Garoppolo. Everybody knows how we feel about Jimmy Garoppolo. But Brock Purdy, his evolution, taking ownership, saying, this is when we're going to no huddle. This is when I'm going to spike it. This is when I'm going to burn a timeout.
Well,
that's where I'm looking at Brock saying, you need to help out. If Shanahan doesn't have the help he has on the sideline, then I need my quarterback, who's the CEO of the offense and the manager of the offense on the field. He's got to take a little more ownership.
When I think of Brady in my eyes, it's not just like knowing when to call timeout. It's knowing when everybody line up, and I'm going to wait to spike it until a certain number or whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a really good point.
That's what I'm saying.
The other thing is that, you know, we just haven't had a lot of those opportunities where Brock has, like, think about the scramble mode at the end of games. Like, the Green Bay game was kind of scramble mode, kick a field goal to win it, but you gave the ball back to Green Bay, and Green Bay had the ball at the end of that game, right? Now, Dallas had the ball at the end of the game.
In
the game with Brock Purdy, I'm talking about.
They had the ball at the very end.
So we just haven't been presented with a lot of those. Brock's got the ball, and it's scramble mode at the end of a do-or-die game.
Just think about Shanahan. been in Philadelphia for the NFC Championship game, how he didn't throw the challenge flag on the Devontae Smith play.
When that was the moment of the game?
I mean, it was early, but it was, if you hold Philadelphia without any points right there on their first drive, and that crowd was in a frenzy, but we saw how quickly that crowd was ready to panic when it was 7-7. It was 7-7, and they're already worried in Philadelphia. Those fans were so damn fickle. Wait till, man, they were so rattled. Thinking, oh, my God, what's going on here? They go on that long drive where they get help with the flags and the officials, and it's like, okay, I get what's going on here. Hugh Douglas, shout out to him. He's cool. But Shanahan not throwing that challenge flag. Who the hell is talking to Shanahan? Isn't that
I don't know.
We see these moments. It's year 8 now. And we still see these same blunders from Kyle Shanahan. And to your point about McVay, which is why I've always liked McVay in this sense, he does take accountability. He does realize, like, when he first got the job, that guy said, I'm going to get Wade Phillips. I'm going to get Bones Fossil. I'm going to get experienced assistant coaches around me to help me in my rookie year. Now he's got a little more ownership, but he realizes that, look, I can't do everything. Yeah. I'm on a sideline. I'm walking up and down a sideline. By the time the Rams call a play, say if they're in the red zone and they're driving in to score a touchdown, they're at the, say, 13-yard line. Well, there you see McVay walking down the sideline. He's right there at the line of scrimmage. Now, he's not supposed to be there, but that's Sean McVay. Yeah. That's what he does, where Shanahan is on the opposite end behind the defense sometimes. And is he seeing it? Does he realize what's going on? So it's a really good point where Shanahan, there's a flaw in this game, and that's the flaw.
Well, like when I think of Harbaugh and maybe one of the flaws that he had as Niners coach, I thought in certain situations late in games, he got so overly emotional with the officials. The team would, not that they were rattled, they weren't as buttoned up at the end of games as I wanted them to be, and I thought it was a reflection of the coach.
Now, it's also, too, if I'm not mistaken, the play call went through like three different dudes.
Oh, no.
It was like Greg Roman, to Jeep Chris, to Jim Harbaugh, to the quarterback.
And the verbiage was so long. Yeah, the Niners, for years, led the league in delay games.
So that process was just like, Harbaugh,
it was a nightmare.
Dial it down a little bit, man.
It was a nightmare.
It's G13 classified, but geez. This ain't the FBI. All right, we got to break here.
We would always
here.
Be like, 4, 5, right. Like, just, hike it.
Well, I know we got to break here. Here's one. We've got a couple baldy cuts here. We're going to talk to Matt Barrels about the cancellation of practice and the joint practices at Levi's Stadium as a facility. Here's Baldy. You ever heard of anything like this? A joint practice getting canceled?
I was at a joint practice last week watching the Jets. It was awesome. It was in a downpour, but there was a lot of good work done. This week and next week, there's joint practices all over the league. But I haven't heard of one yet in my time where it had to be canceled because of so many guys aren't available. One I haven't heard yet.
Now, can the Niners fall behind the New York Jets with the lack of work and lack of preparation of a joint practice? Here's Baldy.
You've got to get some timing before you start the season. You know, they get the Jets week one. The Jets are having joint practices. I'm not saying the Jets are going to be ahead of the 49ers or behind them. I know, obviously, you played week one, but the Jets had a scrimmage last week against Washington. They have one this week against Carolina, next week against the Giants. I mean, they're getting their work in, and, you know, a lot of the guys, I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers didn't play, Garrett Wilson didn't play, but they feel like the scrimmages and the joint practices were these guys are going to get their work and their timing in. And so they're getting a lot of that. And if the 49ers aren't, you just got to wonder, like, is one team going to be a little further ahead than the other to start the season?
Not ideal for the San Francisco 49ers.
Especially when there's only one bye. It just makes it so difficult.
Yeah, I just feel like the lack of practicing, the Ayuk, the Trent situation, the cancellation of the joint practices, all the guys being injured, it's really stalled the excitement of what's to come in the regular season for the 49ers.
Well, he even said it. It's a distraction.
Yeah, well, he said it right here.
For anybody to say this isn't a distraction is crazy. It is. It's all everybody's talking about with this team right now. It's those two players not there. And they're great players. And the 49ers have rewarded great players. They just have, under the John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan regime, they've rewarded every great player. Ayuk is next up. Trent's like at the very end. He's like, okay, I just saw Penei Sewell. I just saw all these guys get rewarded this year. I'm way down the list right now. Let's just put me where I belong.
I mean, he's now the 6th highest paid left tackle. on an annual average per year basis. He saw Tristan Wirfs get 28.1. Penei Sewell get 28.
I mean, my heart goes
Darren
out to him.
Shaw.
My heart just
Darren
goes
Shaw
out to him.
Gets paid.
No guaranteed
Andrew
money.
Thomas.
Just accruing $1.8 million in fines. I just, you know, poor guy, how's he going to make ends meet?
Oh, man. Also, we don't have that cut yet, but he brought up Brandon Ayuk and whether or not he's replaceable. You heard it from Baldy. We'll play it on the other side. Matt Burrell is going to join us from The Athletic to talk about what the hell's going on down in Santa Clara. And that's all coming up, brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
What up, what up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Vontae and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
I was just telling Spadoni, Shasky.
Can you feel me?
Antonio Pierce loves using timeouts preseason games.
You know what's really sad? Instead of the gold medal game, I watched Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew play the Minnesota Vikings.
Did you go back and watch the gold medal game?
Are we sure Kirk Cousins not getting traded to the Raiders at some point this year?
I actually was impressed by Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew in that game. Hey, but that might say more about Minnesota.
Unstoppable, Matt. Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers
looked amazing. He's so much faster than I thought he was for that size.
Oh, he's
him and Michael Mayer are going to have that two tight end sets are going
to
be unreal.
I wanted him to leave Georgia after his freshman year.
If you were to give a Yelp review for the Las Vegas Stadium, what would it be?
Oh,
30 seconds or less.
Oh, yep. Well, first of all, getting in and out the stadium is just unbelievable. You can park for free a couple blocks away from the stadium. The sight lines are amazing. Now, it does get a little loud in there. Your eardrums are hurting and you need some Tylenol because you may get a migraine inside of that stadium. But the location, walking in, walking out, plenty of concession stands. The wait is not long at all, not even for the bathroom. My Yelp review, I don't know if they do a star system on Yelp or whatnot. It's been a long time since but it'd be 5 stars.
Five
stars.
I'd probably go 4.5. I think SoFi's 5. 4.5 for
yeah, SoFi is 5.
The reason why I gave it 4.5 is because I when I went there twice, they ran out of food in certain concession areas. But that's okay. That's part of the Yelp review situation. Yelp review.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Levi's is celebrating 10 years this year.
Yeah.
888-957-9570. Line them up. You have 30 seconds. Give us your Yelp review 10 years in on Levi's Stadium.
What would Matt Barrow's Yep, review B of Levi Stadium. He's covered a team for a long, long time. Matt Barrels joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.70 Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Matt Barrels joins us once again here on the Morning Rush on 95.70 Game. Good morning, Matt, and I'm going to put you on the clock, 30 seconds or 15. If you got a Yelp review for Levi Stadium, now nah, you're in that press box. And when I know about that press box, Fred, it's pretty damn good. It's getting 5 stars alone.
Oh, my God.
What would your Yelp review be of Levi Stadium's, Matt?
Yeah, I'm sitting up there fat and happy. For me, it's all about the elevators. Do you remember the candlestick elevator?
I do. It was terrible.
It was nicknamed Old Sparky because it would take maybe, I don't know, 17 minutes for it to go from one floor to another. This stadium has a bank of elevators, and they're all working in concert, working well. So for me, it's a total win moving from Candlestick to Levi's.
Yeah, the elevators are great. The press box spread is great. If it's a 1 o'clock game, you get your omelet bar. If it's a night game, they got roast beef, they got prime rib. And then, of course, halftime, they come out with the nachos and the chili and the cheese and the chicken tenders. I could talk all day long about the press box spread, but that's not why we have you on, Matt. The joint practices have been scheduled. Now, earlier this summer, Shanahan said, you know, they don't host teams at their facility for joint practices because they don't have enough space. But then I recalled, didn't they host the Denver Broncos back in 2017 or 18 for some joint practices at Levi Stadium?
They did, and I think that experience wasn't great. I mean, it was totally cramped. You know, the 49ers have two practice fields, and neither of them is 100 yards long. So, when you hold joint practices, you are hoping that your ones, twos, and threes can go against the other team's ones, twos, and threes. So, a lot of reps for everybody, and that really requires three fields. The 49ers have basically 1.7 fields, so that's why it's so cramped and why they like to go on the road for those types of things.
That's kind of crazy. Like, it's a brand new, I mean, essentially brand new still facility. How did they not think that far ahead? I'm a little, or at least try to acquire land around the stadium.
Well, they have. That's been a big bone of contention between the 49ers and the city of Santa Clara. But you guys may have noticed that land isn't exactly in abundance in the old Bay Area, and it's expensive. But this is practicing at their team facility, which is what they've done since 2003. So they've been at that spot. It works well for them during the season. What doesn't work well is having a guest, another 90 guys show up. You could go to a neutral site, I suppose. These guys are so particular, though, about the fields and the facilities and the film rooms that, the Vegas, the Raiders have a really, really spectacular facility in Henderson. That seems like moving forward that could be a good spot for joint practices on an annual basis.
Yeah, it feels like as the exhibition season or the preseason games get de-emphasized and lowered, these joint practices take on more and more importance. And so, look, you've been covering this team a long time, what, 20, 25 years, Matt?
Yeah, since 2003.
Yeah. So can you remember the team being this banged up at this point in training camp?
Yes, I do. Mike Singletary had something called
Oklahoma drill.
Mike Singletary ran training camps like it was 1985. Yeah. He had something called the Nutcracker drill. Yeah. Not making it up.
I remember that. I'm laughing because I can see the Oklahoma drill, the Nutcracker drill, and then the hill that he had built.
This was the Oklahoma drill on steroids. It was brutal, and he had like the stars doing it. It was Patrick Willis going up against Eric Heitman and all the starters, and surprise, a bunch of them got hurt, and it did not go over well with the players, and so that was a very injury filled summer. I remember Dennis Erickson. Those eras used to go out to practice, and a PR staffer would come by with a sheet of paper, that had that day's injuries on it. The guys weren't practicing. And, you know, most of the time it was maybe like six or seven names. It was a day under Dennis Erickson where it was front and back. I mean, the names went off the front page. You had to flip it over, and there were another like 15 on the backside as well. So it's not out of the realm. What Shanahan's point was yesterday, and it was a hard point for him to make because he began his press conference by saying that Khalia Davis, who had such a nice game on Saturday, had a knee injury. He needed surgery. He'd be out for months. But then he noted that, you know, most of the injuries we've had are strains, and we're talking, you know, 10-day to 3-week injuries instead of 3-month injuries. So most of the guys who are out right now should be back by the end of the month and then should be full go to begin the season. To me, it's just the speed and the amount of running that they do at these practices. You know, the players have said, especially players who have played elsewhere in their careers, have all said that these practices are more intense, they're faster than anywhere else in the league, and I think that's what leads to it's mostly been hamstring strains for this team. They've had maybe almost 15 or so hamstring strains, and so that's the major injury that's keeping guys off the field.
Talking to Matt Barrows here on the River Islands guest line here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game. Matt, before we get to IU could Trent Williams, because obviously we're going to ask about that, but Ricky Pearsall, the first-round pick, we know he's hurt his shoulder. He didn't play in the preseason opener against Tennessee. What's his availability for Sunday? When can we expect him to be back on the practice field?
He was running around on the side field yesterday, and that doesn't really mean as much when the guy has a upper body injury like Pearsall does, but it does seem like he's close to coming back. You know, they've got the day off today. They have a block of practices Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. These are going to be the replacement for the joint practices. So we can expect these to be fairly intense, too. And I'm sure that the 49ers want him to be back for those so that he can take part in the Saints game on Sunday. So I'm looking for him on Wednesday. I haven't heard that, though, but he seems close to returning.
IU, Trent Williams, is there anything? I mean, what is going on? It's like the good, the bad, the ugly. It's like a stare-off.
Yeah, I got nothing for you. I mean, I think we talked, I forget when our last conversation was last week. Really hasn't changed much since then. Here's where things stand. It's the Steelers or the 49ers. And the Steelers deal probably would be done if the Steelers had offered the 49ers an abundance of riches, something like what the Cleveland Browns were offering. That hasn't happened. And the way I see it, I mean, I feel like the farther this goes on, the less apt the Steelers would be to make that sweetheart offer. Because, you know, we're about to start the season here. And Ayuk hasn't taken part. How much can he really help them? His value to them probably goes down a little bit with every week that this goes on. So, I mean, part of me has thought that the 49ers don't want to deal him at all and that they're sort of slow playing this, manipulating it from their end. They do have the control. He's under contract. And they can force the issue if they want to. Now, I say that, and, you know, at the same time, they probably would have accepted the Browns deal had Ayuk wanted to go to Cleveland. He didn't. They probably would have accepted the Patriots deal had Ayuk wanted to go to New England. He didn't. And maybe they knew that. But that's always been in the back of my mind that, you know, the 49ers don't want to trade Ayuk. They want him here. They're acquiescing to his trade demands, but in a way that kind of shows him, okay, these are your choices. If you don't like them, you can always come back here. You know, we had a really good season last year. We've got a good young quarterback that we want you to basically grow old with over the next decade. So maybe you should kind of rethink where you want to be. I've always thought that was the subtext behind everything that they're doing, and it might end up being that way. I'm sure everybody involved wants this to be over right away so that he can get at least one preseason game in, get at least some practices in. That's going to be the next kind of storyline with Ayuk. He didn't practice in spring. He hasn't practiced in the summer. He had spectacular practices both in the spring and the summer last year, which led to his remarkable season. Hard to see him duplicating that with no practice in the offseason.
You know, Shanahan, maybe I'm looking too, reading too deeply into this, but listening to his presser yesterday, Matt, it certainly sounded like he felt as confident that they're bringing Brandon Ayuk back with the way he talked about, hey, I trust Brandon to be ready for the season. I think he's going to work hard. I trust Brandon there. Last week, it felt like the rhetoric was, yeah, our former teammate, and yeah, the situation sinks. But yesterday, maybe I'm looking too, did you read it like that too, Matt, where it's like, huh, Shanahan's kind of changing his tune a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the way I see it, I keep going back to Shanahan's nothing's changed quote. And I think that's the underlying frustration that they're basically in the same boat. They're not exactly sure what he wants to do. I don't know where the Steelers kind of came from. It's a little odd that, you know, a guy who's under contract, I mean, a free agent, you understand, he's going to have a list of teams that he wants to go to. But a guy who's still under contract, it's strange that he would pick two other teams that, I know that the Steelers had a nice record last year, but they're still in a tough division. They're rebuilding in a lot of ways. I think that surprised the 49ers that he, you know, had these other teams maybe above the 49ers. So there's a little bit frustration, you know, disbelief in what's happening. I think that they just want Ayuk to make a commitment to being back here.
So what about the other wide receivers? Because I'm looking at this, like, Debo's making the team. Pearsall's making the team. Feels like Conley's making the team. That's three. Ayuk, let's just put him up in the air. I know that Trent Taylor's, you know, doing returns. I think he's lousy. But it sounds like he's going to make the team.
Juwan
all right?
Jennings.
Juwan Jennings will make the team. Where does that leave Cowan? Where does that leave Tay Martin, who made a lot of plays? I know he dropped the big ball from Brandon Allen the other day. Where does that leave those guys? Like, Danny Gray feels like an afterthought. What do you think in terms of this wide receiver room beyond the guys that I mentioned?
Well, they usually keep six. So if you're including Ayuk in that picture, you just name six receivers. Cowing, he's been in and out of the lineup with injuries. He didn't look all that great yesterday. He had a drop. They need to see something from him in order for him to make the team. If not, he either goes to the practice squad or an injury list, or maybe some other team picks him up off of waivers. The 49ers had three guys snapped up off of waivers last year. So they're one of the teams that the other teams are circling on cutdown day, which I think is August 27 this year. So I think wide receiver is going to be one of the positions that other teams are looking at. And cornerback certainly is. They're going to have to cut a good cornerback. You know, to me, it's like, let's just assume that Ayuk is still on the roster.
Okay.
It's Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Conley. Conley is Ayuk's backup, basically.
Yeah.
So even
and
if
a special
Ayuk is back, I just don't see Ayuk gets like 98% to 99% of the snaps on game days. I don't know if he can even do that if he hasn't had a full training camp, at least not in week one. So I think Conley would be necessary. Now, the thing with Conley and Taylor is that you can sort of move them up and down from the practice squad as you like. So that's a wrinkle that I think it may be that one or even both of those guys aren't on the 53-man roster per se, but you see them in uniform every week. So there are ways for this team to hold on to a Cowing, hold on to a Ronnie Bell, and also get the game day experience of a Trent Taylor or a Chris Conley.
Real quick, before we let you go, Matty, because we're up against it here, Fred Warner. Should we be concerned about Fred Warner's injury?
No, he was back yesterday.
Okay,
and,
good. Good deal.
Even if you were struggling with your sight, you knew that Fred Warner was back at practice because he was loud and he was doing his usual thing where he's cheering on his defensive mates. He's talking, you know what, to the offensive players. So it's always, you know, if you're the 49ers, you always want to see Fred Warner back in the lineup. But I think it's even more important now during these sort of dog days of August where you have so many injuries. You just had the canceled joint practices. They need a shot of adrenaline. Fred Warner is the guy that provides it on defense. George Kittle is the guy that provides it on offense. So both of those guys were in practice yesterday.
All right, Matty B, enjoy your day off. Enjoy your day off. It should be intense over the next 3 days. And let's see if we get some healthy bodies. And hopefully by the time you get back to Santa Clara, the Brandon Ayuk situation has been resolved. But we'll cross our fingers on that. Thanks for the time today, Matt.
We can only hope.
We can only hope. It is nauseating, no doubt about it. All right, Matt, take care, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Matt Barrels, 49ers insider for The Athletic here on the River Islands guest line. Fred Warner's back. Good news.
Great news.
Great news, right?
I'm just looking at this wide receiver depth chart. Maybe I'm getting too in the weeds here, but Ayuk, Debo, Jennings, Pearsall, that's four. He's saying Conley and Taylor, 5-6. So they've historically kept about six. That means you're cutting Cowan, Tay Martin, and Ronnie Bell.
Maybe you're putting Cowie got a practice squad or trying to slip him through the practice squad.
I don't see where. He hasn't played, yeah, and no so one's maybe, seen him. I don't see how he's going to get elevated to another.
So put him on a practice squad.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't see how another team is going to claim him and then play him.
Wow, Ronnie Bell getting cut like that.
Isn't that interesting?
Year number two? Damn.
I tell you, I really like Tay Martin's game, dude. I know he dropped the ball, but if you watch the whole game, he made like six or seven really nice plays, adjusting to the ball in the air. Like, I like him. A good player is getting cut, which kind of sucks. It speaks to the depth of the position, even though I know we're losing our minds about Ayuk. It's just, it's just a numbers game. And that's why I go back to Conley and Taylor. It's like, really, Trent Taylor? Really? Like, I don't see what they see in Trent Taylor. Well, I don't get it.
Right now, Chris Conley's been your starting X. He's been breaking the huddle as one of the starting wide receivers.
He made plays in the Super Bowl at special teams and in the playoffs as a wide receiver. I get Conley. He's a bigger body than what you have.
But as your starting X?
No. Not,
yeah, that's, you get what I'm saying?
Super Bowl champion or contender.
I like Conley. Yeah. That's what I'm saying here.
On this, he's our five.
So, Brandon Ayuk. Let's start there with the body cut. We heard it from Matt Barrels, and he said he's seen practices here. We finally got, there's no space, I guess, with the Denver Broncos and the pro practice facility and everything like that. We'll get back to your question. If you had a Yelp review for Levi's Stadium, 888-957-9570, what would that Yelp review be? Now, I'm seeing 510 saying 0 stars. They don't even have garlic fries. Don't have SF in your name if you don't have garlic fries.
That's a little harsh.
People want their garlic fries, man. I'm not mad at the 510. But Brandon Ayuk, because I've heard a lot over the last month about the Brandon Ayuk situation. We've been back and forth as a fan base. Now, I've never believed that he's replaceable. You know, like, some of the rhetoric around Brandon Ayuk is like, oh, you just give him up for nothing. Just get rid of him. We'll be fine. Yeah, I don't know about that. Well, we asked Baldy the same thing. Is Brandon Ayuk irreplaceable on this offense? Here's what Baldy had to say.
You lose Brandon Ayuk, okay. You're going to put Danny Gray out there? Like, what are you putting out, Juwan Jennings? What are you putting out there? Nobody. There's nobody they're going to get that can run a route like Brandon Ayuk. There's probably nobody they're going to get that blocks like he does. They don't beat Detroit without that catch down the middle of the field. They simply don't make that comeback. That triggered the whole thing, that catch off the safety in that play. There's a reason why he's holding out. He thinks he's a pure number one, and he is. He's a real number one wide receiver. And they love to attack the middle of the field. That's their offense. That's where the ball wants to go. And if you're going to attack the middle of the field, you better have some fearless players. Not everybody is as fearless as Debo and Ayuk going across the middle.
You know, he's right. Like, and I think this is where like everybody, like I think the team, I think myself, like we're all exhausted over this whole thing. And did Debo do some stuff when he was going there? Yeah, he did. He did. Remember, there's the whole him at the bar with the sparklers.
At the club.
But Bonte, I'm looking at, and Sam, you did a great job on this. I'm looking at this Brandon Ayuk timeline. Can we just go down this time? It's been exhausting. February 13th. he said he'd be back if it was the right move. And then right after, his friend posted a video criticizing Ayuk's targets, and that's not his fault, but that happened, right? And then his girlfriend ends up posting, "This might be the last time we touch Levi's grass."
She's not lying. It might be the last time.
Okay, that was in February. Then in March, okay, this is what happened in the month of March. The Ayuk deal will be done after free agency. That's what Rap Sheet said. And then in the 15th, there's interest between the Jaguars and Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah,
and then,
we had Mia O'Brien on, and she said it was real.
Exactly.
It was real. And then all of a sudden, I'm randomly watching LSU Pro Day, and our guy Brian Thomas of Jacksonville, whoever it was sitting there with him, I forgot who was interviewing him, but they said, you know, an executive told me that you remind them of Brandon Ayuk. I was like, well, they're not going to trade for Brandon Ayuk now. They're just going to draft the guy they think he's Brandon Ayuk.
On a rookie deal. Then a few days after that, he shouts out his twin, Mike Tomlin. Like, what? What? And then a couple days after that,
Lynch says... Hold on. Well, because there was a rumor, it's like, Brandon Ayuk looks like Mike Tomlin, blah, 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 blah. So he just shouted out his twin. He shouted him out. He knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
You know, it's all good. We all troll.
Late March. Okay, Lynch says he wants Ayuk to be a part of the 49ers. And then on the 29th, he goes on the Nightcap podcast and says that Brandon Ayuk does, he just wants his value.
Yeah, so the Nightcap podcast, he also got asked, who's a better quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance? And he said, Trey Lance in like less than 2 seconds.
I mean, it's okay.
That's
then
cool.
Then on April 1st, 2 days after that, the Garofalo comes out and says, the 49ers and Ayuk are really far apart. 10 days later, he unfollows the 49ers on Instagram, and then chaos ensues. He requests a trade to his agent, Schefter. Ayuk cares more about getting paid than actually playing football. Then the whole week of the draft, there's speculation he's going to get traded. We're not even through April. There's like 11 things. And then they obviously go on to not only not trade him, they draft a wide receiver in the first round.
Well, he was okay
with it. That's BS, man.
He texted John Lynch to say it was a fire pick. He was happy about it. He's like, fire pick. That was his boy, former teammate Ricky Pearsall, Arizona State.
Then the team, John Lynch, comes out, you know, in May and says, on McAfee, hey, we're past the Debo and Ayuk trade talks. June 4th, not at minicamp. Now, he's not the only one, but given the 15 things I said prior to this, it was news. Then on June 17th, he says, they don't want me back on TikTok. So now we're on multiple platforms, talking all over the place. Later in June, he requests a meeting with the 49ers. In July, he requests a trade.
Before trading camp. Now, to his credit,
we're not even done. We haven't even gotten through August.
But yeah, we know what happened in August. Look, June 24th, he requested to be with the Niners, and they all met up. And it was all assumed that, hey, they got to the table. This is good. They're going to get to the table. Now, he pulled his last negotiating tactic by saying, I want to trade. Now, to his credit, he still showed up to the facility. He's still there.
So that was August 1st. July 23rd, he shows up and holds in.
Yep.
August 1st is the handshake hug. The handshake hug. Where we all thought a deal was going to be done. Bro, it's August 13th and nothing has happened.
So is that all on Brandon Ayuk?
No, nothing's ever on one guy. It takes two to tango when it comes to these negotiations. What I'm saying is I'm exhausted by this timeline. There's like 35 things that have happened this offseason. Are you not?
No, I'm not exhausted. It's NFL football. It's pro football, baby. This ain't the first rodeo we've been in.
Bosa was kind of out of sight, out of mind.
You know, but Bosa didn't show up to anything. We just didn't know what the hell Bosa was doing. And then his mom came on the stage and said, he's in great shape, blah, blah, blah. He's phenomenal. And then next thing you know, he's midway through the season. He's throwing Steve Wilkes under the bus, talking about I'm experimenting with new moves.
More tumultuous offseason with this week one matchup. The Jets, Aaron Rodgers, Hassan Reddick. It's the Jets, obviously. Sala. Or the 49ers with the best left tackle holding out now and seemingly not coming back. And the second team all pro, Brandon Ayuk holding out.
It's the Niners.
Well, because this is just Jets.
This
is price of doing business with the New York Jets.
The Hassan Reddick thing is so weird. Like,
yeah, well,
why
they
trade
knew
the
they
guy?
Traded for him.
That makes no sense to me.
So, so now we got Trent Taylor out there returning punts, and you see Danny Gray's going to get cut ball. He's right. You're going to trot out Danny Gray out there to watch Danny's going to start next. That's what I'm saying. He is irreplaceable. Sure, the timeline is exhausting, but it's not the first time we've been through something like this. And you know what? It's not going to be the last time we've been through something like this. And quite frankly, thank God for the timeline of Brandon. Now, think about our jobs. Would you rather talk about Brandon Ayuk and what he means to the 49ers or what he doesn't mean to the Niners as opposed to the Giants baseball we saw in May, in June?
Just sell.
I'd rather talk about this stuff than what I was watching on the Diamond with the San Francisco Giants. It wasn't selling. Our ratings had been in the gutter because of the damn Giants. Brandon Ayuk, thank the heaven you did all this stuff. You gave us something to talk about.
Yeah, but at some point, I want to talk about actual games. So I hear what you're saying because it's football.
You know, but it's sports radio. You know, the people don't like to hear about the actual games. They want to talk about the drama.
Come on, man. Like, sports radio. Can we get a resolution? Like, the team needs it. And I'm glad that Baldy just came out and said it. Like, this is a distraction. I know you and I went back and forth on that. And I don't think it's the end of the world. Like, I don't think Brock's getting under center, okay, in the middle of a game. Let's say he plays this weekend. And he's at the line of scrimmage. He's like, huh? Or what does they say? What, a red 42? What is the Jimmy Garoppolo? Because they did the same thing.
Green 18?
No, it's not green 18. I know Dak goes, here we go. Oh, and the Niners do... Red 18?
Yeah, they do something.
It's something like that. They do the same one, right? Anyway, point being, I don't think he's getting under center, and he's going like, oh, my God, Brandon Ayuk's not here. I'm exhausted. I'm thinking about what I'm going to get questioned in the offseason. Like, no, I don't think it's that dire. But I to say that this is like, oh, that it has no effect on the team, that's crazy.
Well, you know, I'm kind of with keeping the faith here on YouTube. Shout out to YouTube. Shout out to YouTube.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.